Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, good morning. Joe Beamer with you for the next hour. Brian off today. He'll be back tomorrow. Lots to get to. Lots going on here in Western New York and beyond. And we'll bring that to you. I can never get the volume right here because I'm more deaf than Brian, but I don't need it too loud. So there we go. There's a little adjustment. It is 5:14, and before we go any further, we should mention, 3 years ago today was the shooting at Tops, and we remember those lost, the heroism of Aaron Salter, who fought off the shooter and saved countless lives so they could get out of the store. But, 3 years later, and still seems like it was yesterday, right? It's still, I think, on everyone's mind regularly. And obviously, families that will never be the same again. People taken from us way too early. And we're still awaiting the federal trial for the shooter. And he is facing the death penalty. And we'll see. When that takes place. For me, I'm one who believes. You do something as heinous as this, you deserve the same fate. And I understand that. There are a lot of people out there that would disagree with me, but I would like to see nothing more than this guy get the fast track to the death penalty. But obviously, he will get his trial and we'll go from there. But, I think back to 3 years ago. It's one of those days I think everyone can remember where they were. I heard Father Paul Sile was talking to Susan and Brian about that just a few hours ago. I was at the gym. It was before I had a kid. So I used to do Saturday afternoon workouts. And I remember looking up at Fox News. And I just stopped my workout and stood in front of the TV and could not believe the news that I was seeing. And then, obviously, we were live and local with you, Tom Bowerly, and then myself. But obviously, that's not the story. The story, and today is the day of remembering and day of service. And we got the announcement that the 5:14 Memorial, where it will be. So we have a place to go and remember, these lives again that were taken from us way too early. And, I remember talking to Eva Doyle a few days after the shooting back in 2022. And, her story, I'm sure it's on her mind every time she goes grocery shopping. She was planning to go, something else came up. So she had delayed her shopping that day. But she had been planning to be at the store around that same time. I've talked to people who shop at that Tops and say, I know of a few people that they'll never go back into that Tops, right? That they can't bring themselves to walk into that store, be it they were there, the day of, or, they knew someone who was tragically killed, or just, the thought of what happened there, they can't bring themselves to go to that store. And like I said, there's numerous people I've talked to who said they'll go shopping somewhere else. They cannot bring themselves to go into that store. And I think that's completely understandable. But we do remember the lives taken from us way too early. And we also remember Aaron Salter, Officer Aaron Salter, whose heroic acts saved lives. So that is today. Got my Buffalo Bills Choose Love shirt on this 5:14, and again, you'll be hearing our coverage throughout the day. And the big news of the day is that the land was finally approved for that memorial, and it will be at the intersection of Jefferson and Best. And obviously, we'll be bringing you updates as that as work on that starts, as they break ground. We heard from Reverend Mark Blue earlier, and you can find that on demand at WBEN.com and on the Odyssey app. Also happening today, we're continuing to hear more about that explosion in Hamburg two nights ago, and continuing to hear from people who heard or felt the impact of that from miles away. And now one woman is dead, and the gentleman that was in the house is still in critical condition at ECMC. And we're hoping to learn more in the coming days of how this happened. Now, you have National Fuel saying that there was no evidence of a leak, which, you know, obviously brings you more questions than answers. You also have the house that was next to it that caught on fire. That house is now a total loss because of the fire that broke out from the explosion. So, again, a tragic situation, and we'll be learning more from that. And when we do, we will bring that to you. But I'll tell you, I guarantee everyone listening, it was on the back of your mind when you went out grilling yesterday or when you turned off your oven. Even though National Fuel said no evidence of a gas leak on their end, you probably twisted that propane tank a little extra tight last night. Or you did the Joe Beamer sniff around the stove in the oven just to make sure that everything's off. And I'm interested to hear what the cause of this was. And I think a lot of other people are want to know exactly what it is that happened that, you know, caused this house to literally explode. I mean, there is nothing left. And in that house exploding, it caught another one on fire that is now also a total loss. So that happening in Hamburg. What else is happening? Now, this is nationwide. The second segment, I want to get to talking about the bill schedule, obviously, because that's, I think, what a lot of eyes are going to be on tonight. But this is something that I heard David talking about yesterday. And you know, I want to get my two cents in on this. So Jake Tapper is releasing a book about the cover-up of the Biden decline, and it's called Original Sin. It's from Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson of Axios. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to read the book, which I know a lot of people out there probably yell at the radios, Joe, why would you read this book? I'm going to read the book, even though while I read it, I realize that Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson didn't do anything to uncover this when it was actually happening. Right? Now, I don't remember Jake Tapper. Actually, I remember Jake Tapper doing the opposite, trying to stop conversation of what we were all seeing. But this is the third book like it. Now, as I've mentioned, I finished Uncharted. And anyone out there that's looking for a good read, Uncharted starts at the debate night and walks you through the election on both sides, but walks you through the discussion of Democratic officials before the debate, what came out about that 10 days in Camp David. And then it takes you through the process of getting Joe Biden to step down, the Kamala Harris nomination, and so on and so forth. Very interesting. And you know me, I'm not a reader, so I listened to it on audiobook. But I could not stop the audiobook. I mean, it took me 2 days to listen to it. And I'm looking forward to also reading slash listening to the Jake Tapper book. But the defense now of this is starting to become quite laughable. So yesterday on Inside Politics, which is a show that I make sure I listen to so you don't have to, there is a analyst on with the panel. They have, you know, Inside Politics. It's like a noon panel. So it's a smaller scale of the Abby Phillips show at night with Scott Jennings on it. And this guy is giving his thoughts. Just hear what he has to say about the book and about the reaction from the Democratic Party.
There's an emerging consensus among Democrats, not one that helps them through this story exactly, but from the book excerpts, from talking to Democrats, it's that, yes, Biden in 2020 was able to do the job, and Republicans cried wolf and said he couldn't. They said he needed a drug test to go, before he went into, you remember that whole news cycle.
Oh, yeah.
He was going to collapse. Because he didn't collapse, Biden was fine through 2022, and then it's 2023, 2024, when he seemed to age very quickly. That's an anecdote, that, or I guess an observation that comes up from everyone that they quote, that we saw him at this point, then we saw him again, he was not the same guy. He aged 50.
Come on. Are we buying that? So, hey, yeah, the Republicans said in 2020 that he was having all these issues, but he wasn't having these issues till 2023. I mean, come on. Do you buy that? So what? The people on the right can see into the future? I mean, that's just such an absurd take. No, the people were told that it was a right-wing conspiracy. It was, I'm sorry, it was a dangerous right-wing conspiracy, is what we were told. And then now that Joe Biden's no longer president and Kamala Harris lost, now the media has to somehow justify the cover-up. And this guy's saying, well, it's because it was a conspiracy. Joe Biden didn't have any issues till 2023. I'm not buying that. And I think a majority of people, even people who can't stand Donald Trump, are buying that. I don't think you're buying that. So it was a conspiracy theory up until 2023, and then everything they said, according to these books, started coming true. It's, and then you have another part of this that's saying, well, that's in the past. We need to focus on the dangerous man in the White House now. Well, wait a minute. The dangerous, you mean the guy who can't shut up? The guy who will talk to the media for 4 hours a day? That's the dangerous man? You don't want to look back and see what was hidden from you, from the guy who never talked to the media? The guy who, not only were his aides lying to the American people, they were lying to him and the other aides? You don't want to uncover that? It's in the past now. It's in the past, but there is still one lingering question. That's who was running the country from 2021 to 2025? That is an important question. And I don't care if you're a Trump hater. I don't care if you love Trump, you love Biden, hate Biden. Like, I think this is something that we should all be able to come together. People on the left, people on the right, people in the middle, which is most of America, by the way. I think this is something that we could come together and say, hey, you know what? Regardless of what I think about the previous president.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That probably shouldn't be happening. And, you know, I mean, you would think Democrats would say, well, we have to learn what happened, because obviously that started the Donald Trump comeback. I mean, for all the Mark Poloncarzes out there who are saying that Joe Biden was George Washington, I wonder what they say now. I mean, are they just going to discount all this? Because you also have those people, right? Everything negative said about Joe Biden is false, and everything negative said about Donald Trump is true. You have a lot of those people. Yeah, and it goes the other way around too, right? You have a lot of people, everything negative said about Trump is false, and everything negative said about Biden is true. I mean, neither of those are right. I mean, I do think you have some people out there that are so blinded by their hatred of one or the other that they can't admit when one does anything wrong. By the way, that's not me. I'll tell you that right now, because I'd be happy to tell you a few things currently that the president's doing that I don't necessarily agree with. Doesn't mean I wouldn't vote for him again if I had the chance. I'm just saying, unless you're a robot and just a follower, no one 100% agrees with one side or the other. You just got to take which one checks off the priorities that matter to you, right? But it is interesting to see now the reaction to what we're learning in the Jake Tapper book. And again, I don't think this means Jake Tapper gets off for his coverage during the election. But I think it's an important read. I think all these books are important. And by the way, I'd say the same thing if it was books written about Trump. As much as I think a lot of people are just trying to get a penny, right? But when you have now three, four books about the decline of the former president, and we all saw it, like, does anyone watch that debate and say, wow, that's one bad cold Joe Biden has? By the way, you know how many times myself, Brian, David, Tom, Susan, Jimmy, Lucas, how many times we go on the air with a cold? Do you ever hear a performance like, do you ever hear us stuttering, you know, stumbling over ourselves? Not stuttering. Former president has a stutter. There's nothing wrong with that. Right? Scatman John had a great song about his stutter. Nothing wrong with a stutter. What we saw from the president, the former president on debate night, was not a stutter. I mean, he was stumbling over everything. That's not a cold. That's not a stutter. That is, unfortunately, I think what a lot of people in the White House were seeing and not reporting. So my whole thing on this is, it's really funny to hear this guy say, no, the conspiracy, it was a conspiracy from 2020 to 2023. Then, yes, it happened in 2023. I mean, that's just complete BS. And I bet we'll hear more and more of that. But I would say, if you want to read a book about the final year of the last presidency and the election that we just all lived through, I think Uncharted is a great read. It's an easy read. And it will get you up to the point where this Jake Tapper book will be available. Maybe not at the library, but it'll be available. It'll be available somewhere. 803-0930, star 930, if you want to comment on anything we're talking about today. Joe Beamer with you. Brian off today. He'll be back tomorrow. But it is interesting to see this book tour. Jake Tapper's now on. It's like when Cuomo, here's the guy, he's the governor of New York, and he's on a book tour. Remember that? When you still couldn't do anything, unless you were having, you know, surf and turf. You couldn't go out. But here's Cuomo going all over the country promoting his book on how he saved us from COVID. And then he had to close everything down again after the fireworks display. But I don't want to, you know, I don't want to go back to COVID, crying out loud. Tonight, it's a big night in the NFL. Yes, the NFL schedule is being released. And I realize we're not a sports station. I know you guys remind me on the text board all the time. But I think you have a lot of people whose eyes are on this, not just to see, you know, the home games and they line up, but there are people, and I know Susan and Brian will be talking about this tomorrow, who want to plan trips around upcoming Bills games, right? And they want to see, hey, Pittsburgh's a fun city to go to, Cleveland's easy to get to. When do those games fall on the schedule? Maybe it's something where I can plan a long weekend around it, right? Take off Monday. Or maybe it's later in the season, a Saturday night game in Pittsburgh or something like that. So I'm going to tell you what I think the schedule is going to look like. And I want to hear from you. Do you have any interest on the schedule? And if so, are you planning a trip? Are you excited? Do you have season tickets? Excited to see what your schedule is going to look like? You know, because for me, I have a lot of intersecting with Virginia Tech. What games are going to be difficult to get to because they're on the same weekend? So I want to talk to you about that. If you have a comment on anything else that we mentioned in the first segment, obviously lines are open for that. 803-0930, star 930. And I'm going to take one of Brian's favorite segments from him. There is an item up for auction from a TV show that I cried when I missed one of the To Be Continued episodes. There's a tease for you. You're probably like, hey, I was going to touch the dial, but now I got to see what Joe Beamer was crying about when he was a kid. Well, you'll hear that after the news with Lucas on News Radio 930 WBEN. Oh, welcome back. It is B-Maz and Beamer. Joe Beamer with you. Brian off today. He'll be back tomorrow. We'll get to the Bills schedule in a second, but something I was thinking of. So 2 weeks ago, flew out. We were cat-sitting in Florida. Even though I don't like cats, I'll take the weekend at a buddy's house, right? Come on. Anyway, and flew down there and it at a DCA, Reagan International Airport, sat on the tarmac for like 15 minutes, and I had a connection very close connection. Luckily, the plane did not go to the gate it was supposed to go to and went to the gate right next to the connection. Then we get to the destination and we sit on the runway for another 15 minutes. I don't remember. Maybe I just don't. I mean, I've flown a lot in my life. I don't remember this being an issue. But of four flights that I took two weeks ago, three of them, we were sitting on the runway for an expanded amount of time because there, quote, wasn't a gate available. And now my mom's flying to Richmond to see my grandmother, and she just almost missed her connection in Charlotte because they were just sitting on the runway. That to me seems like a new issue. Like over the years, that's become more common. And at first I was saying, is that because these are bigger airports? But I've been flying out of Buffalo most of my life. And usually when you fly out of Buffalo, you have to fly through a bigger airport. And again, I don't remember it being the issue that it has been these last, these last few months, but maybe for a year, maybe a year. And now you see these issues in Newark that are happening with equipment completely going down. And we learned that some of these airlines are still using floppy disks. Floppy disks? The last time I used a floppy disk was my sophomore year of high school. Then they invented this thing where you could just stick it in the USB drive and it would save. But we have our airlines. I mean, again, I love flying. It gets you there quickly, right? It's a lot safer than driving if you look at statistics. But don't you expect that the equipment used, even if the floppy disk has nothing to do with the flight, which I'm sure it doesn't, they don't start the plane. Oh, we put the destination on this floppy disk. But still, don't you expect, especially what you're paying for an airline ticket, like that these airports, these airlines have state-of-the-art technology? That's what I've always expected. Also, you know, you're paying more for a plane ticket now, but on flights, I mean, it used to be, no matter where you were flying, I mean, they used to do flights to Cleveland from Buffalo. Remember that? You just right over the lake. But regardless, you would get some kind of drink service. If the flight was over 30 minutes, you'd get a drink service. I flew to DC and they didn't come with the cart. You know, all I'm asking for is a coffee, maybe a Diet Coke, and a bag of pretzels. I'm not asking for a lot here. I don't need a turkey. I don't need surf and turf. I don't have any leg room to begin with. I'm not paying $14 for the Wi-Fi, so everything I listen to on my phone is downloaded. I mean, at the very least, I mean, I think free Wi-Fi would be great if I ran an airline. Anyway, at the very least, could we just make sure that everyone's getting the drink cart? I don't think Buffalo to DC is the shortest flight. But we're not getting drink carts now. Buffalo to DC, Buffalo to New York, Buffalo to Charlotte, you still get your drink cart. And again, I'm just asking for a Diet Coke. And then on the way back, we hit bad weather and my row got skipped, which is fine. That I understand. I'm not complaining about that. But no drink service from Buffalo to DC. You know, I'm paying $2-something for this flight. It's outrageous. Now, if you're flying on a discount airline, fine. I don't need the drink cart. I don't need to carry a bag on. I'll wear three outfits on the plane. That's fine. I go into that expected. But when you're on one of the big names, and I was on one of the big names, at the very least, I want to be able to bring my backpack on and expect a Diet Coke and some pretzels. Is that too much to ask? And you know what? If I have a connection, I'm hoping that it was planned out by the airline that the plane will be able to get to a gate with time to spare. Because I wasn't the only one on that flight from Buffalo going on the connecting flight, just so you know. I wonder, are you noticing this out there? I wasn't going to talk about this, but then, like I said, my mom texted the family chat. I'm sure everyone has one of those. And she said she had the same problem that I had 2 weeks ago on the same airline, by the way. And I just don't remember that being the issue that it has now repeatedly been over the last, I'd say, year or so. And am I making a too big a deal about the drink cart? Like, I don't mind not having Wi-Fi. Like, I don't need people to have access to me when I'm in the air. I'm not important. I'm fine downloading stuff to my phone, right? On the Odyssey app. That's fine. But, I mean, a 50 cents can of Diet Coke and a cheap bag of peanuts. That's all I'm asking for. What, now I got to go buy the $10 Coke at the overpriced airport store before I go on the plane? I mean, how many of you get delayed by 2 hours? You're going into the vacation fund. It's like, do I sit here? Now I'm going to be late, right? I'm supposed to land and get dipped.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Dinner there, but now I'm going to be here at dinner time in this airport. Do I spend more than I budgeted for the connection? Or do I go on the plane hungry? Maybe they'll come with a drink cart, maybe they won't. It's a coin toss. I know, people think I'm making a big deal about it. I don't think it's too big of a deal. When I was a kid, I knew I was getting three things on that plane. I was going to get a drink, I was going to get a bag of peanuts, and I was going to get some wings to put on my shirt. Those things would always happen no matter where I was flying. And on some airlines, US Air, I get a little model plane. A model plane, pilot pens for my shirt, a drink, some orange juice, and some peanuts. Now, maybe the drink cart will come, maybe it won't. I got to make that determination when I'm in the airport. Luckily, I do bring an empty water bottle and fill it up once I'm past TSA. So at least I'll have some kind of fluid on the plane. I love flying, right? I mean, I'm not against road trips. I love a good road trip, too. You know that. We talk about that all the time. But it is becoming more of a hassle now. And, you know, usually when you're flying, you're doing one of two things. You're doing business, so you're probably already stressed. Or you're on vacation. You're trying to escape the stress. And when now I have to sweat out my connection, while I'm frantically on my phone seeing if I miss this connection, great, another flight doesn't go to my destination today. Now you're adding stress to my vacation. Now, don't get me wrong. If the pilot is avoiding a huge storm, okay, I understand. Right? I understand. I'm not going to be mad if I miss that connection. Please, don't fly through the storm. You're fine. I will applaud. Not really, because I don't like when people applaud. But I will be happy with you. I will not be upset that I missed my connection. But when we land 15 minutes earlier than expected, as we did in D.C., but you don't start moving towards the gate until we've been sitting there for 15 minutes, and I already had a tight connection as it was, again, stress that was not necessary. Let's see, 803-0930, Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board's open. Someone says, quit your whining. All right, like I said, I know some people would be upset. Someone said, if you can't get from Buffalo to D.C. without a drink, shame on you. And I know you're talking Diet Coke. Get your own Diet Coke. I understand it. What I'm saying, I'm not saying that I can't. Obviously, I did. But you're paying for so much more for a plane ticket today. At the very least, I'd like my complimentary drink. That's like, you know what? I don't think I'm whining. That's like you stay at a hotel that advertises free continental breakfast. And then you go down to the lobby and they say, oh, I'm sorry, sir. That's only if you stay for 2 days. You don't get the free breakfast over for one night. Didn't say that. That's not what it says advertised. So I don't think I'm whining. I know it's a little much. I apologize. But you're paying so much more for the ticket. Unless you just tell me, hey, we're not going to have drink service. Which, by the way, there was a green check mark next to complimentary drinks. All right, I'm sorry. I had to get that off my chest. The Bills schedule comes out tonight. That's right. It'll be announced on NFL Network and ESPN2 at 8 p.m. Obviously, we're keeping our eyes on the Bills schedule here in Western New York. So far, no Bills games have been announced, which I have to say, I think is the first time that not one Bills game has been in early mention. Obviously, we know that the Bills won't play Christmas night. That was already announced. The Bills won't play on Black Friday. The Bills will not be the 1 or 4:30 game on Thanksgiving, and we knew that because they're not playing at Detroit or at Dallas. So for holiday purposes, they could be the night game on Thanksgiving. We'll find that out tonight. They could still be the 1 or 4 o'clock game on Christmas, even though Sal Capaccio said that's unlikely. And I'll tell you, I'm looking for, when are they going to be in Charlotte? Because if that lines up with a Virginia Tech home game, I'll be very excited. When are they in Cleveland? When they are in Pittsburgh? I know a lot of people are planning to take a trip to Heinz, well, whatever they call it now. It used to be Heinz Field, or out to Cleveland. And what's the last opponent at Highmark Stadium? What's the last regular season game at Highmark Stadium? All things to keep your eyes on today when that schedule comes out. You know, how many primetime games? You know, last year it was so nice. The home opener was at 1 o'clock. Because, you know, when the Bills only played 1 o'clock games, we complained about it. And now that they never play 1 o'clock games, we're like, oh, you know what? Those 1 o'clock games are actually pretty nice. Because you got home and you had your Sunday night. But we'll see tonight. We'll find out when they're going to be on Thursday night, on Monday night, and then obviously early in the season Sunday night. But anything can be changed to a Sunday night game with the flex scheduling. So I think it's... I'll tell you this. I don't think anyone's better at marketing than the NFL. I mean, the fact that they made the NFL draft such a big deal, and now they're making the schedule release a big deal. I mean, Mike Tirico was on the Today Show Monday for like 20 minutes to talk about one game. So even if you're not an NFL fan, which I know people always have to remind me on the text board, even if you're not an NFL fan, you have to applaud them for their marketing. I think the same goes for the MLB. I think Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball, I think the clubs do a great job of marketing the season, getting people in the stands, making each game an event. Like this weekend, the MLB is doing Rivalry Weekend. The Mets play the Yankees. Should be fun. I think, hey, they realize mid-May is when a lot of people kind of drop off for a month or so, right? Don't watch baseball. Even if you're a baseball fan, maybe you know, you got stuff coming up. You got summer, you got Memorial Day weekend, you got all this stuff coming up. And the MLB is like, all right, we need to keep people's interest. Let's have everyone play one of their rivalries. So I think that's great marketing. The Bisons, I mean, they're the masters of marketing down there, right? With the Star Wars night, how big that's become. Independence Day Eve, the setup they do at Salem Field is great. So I applaud the NFL for making this the big deal that they do. And like I said, I don't think you can mention the marketing of the NFL without mentioning the marketing of the MLB and of minor league baseball and our very own Buffalo Bisons. By the way, speaking of baseball, Pete Rose, who should be in the Hall of Fame, finally has gotten that eligibility. Again, I think it's a little too late. That's something that should have been done when he was alive. The Reds retired his number, put him in their Hall of Fame. He should have been in the Baseball Hall of Fame years ago. You know, I'm not saying he didn't make a mistake, but the all-time hits leader and the guy's not in the Hall of Fame. And to do it the same time that you lift the ban on Shoeless Joe Jackson threw the game. That team purposely lost. Pete Rose was betting on himself. I'm not saying that makes it right. I'm not, you know, again, I'm not saying that we should be promoting betting by the players. I think maybe we promote betting just a little too much within the game. But it was ridiculous that they waited till he was deceased to make him eligible for the Hall of Fame. I mean, come on. But that was the big news out of baseball yesterday. And the final thing I want to talk about today, and I appreciate everyone's text in. No one called today, but that's fine. It's Wednesday, and we only have the hour here. But Sunday, you want to talk about, you know, you want to talk about the decline of the newspaper. So Sunday, I was in the paper. Yes, a tweet of mine made the Buffalo News. Can you believe that? And now it was written by my former professor, Alan Pergament, who wrote this. I'll give you the beginning of it. WBEN AM radio host Joe Beamer seems to enjoy provoking Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz. Talks about Poloncarz's tweet about the Batavia Daily News, and then said Beamer replied to Poloncarz on X, formerly known as Twitter. Speaking of Claudia Tenney, she was on Hardline, which is listened to by more people than attend your town halls and read the Batavia Daily combined. I did say that. I just want to note that this article was in the paper May 11th. I tweeted that April 27th. Talk about timely. But the reason I mention this is not to say that I was in the Buffalo News. I mean, more people are listening to me now than have read the Buffalo News in the past week. But that was in the Sunday paper. Now, I used to deliver the paper, and I would deliver the Sunday paper to almost everyone on the street. There was a time where even if you didn't get the Buffalo News daily, you got the Sunday paper. It was so popular. This was in the Sunday paper, and I did not know about it until Monday afternoon when my wife's boss said, "So I guess you saw the write-up." And my wife goes, "What write-up? What are you talking about?" And then he broke the news that, yeah, your husband was in the Buffalo News. And then my wife broke the news to me, and then I texted Lisa Polizzi and said, "Was I in the paper? Why didn't I hear about this?" But you want to talk about the decline of the newspaper. Back in 2002, when I was delivering the Buffalo News, like I said, everyone got the Sunday paper. So many people were on the Sunday-only route. Now, a lot of people got the weekday paper. I don't want to take that away. But the Sunday paper was the popular paper. Fast forward 22 years later, and that paper was out for 36 hours before I knew an article about me was in it. So there you go. And again, timely. They're writing articles about my tweets from April 27th. Hey, anyway, thank you so much for tuning in today. Brian will be back tomorrow. David will be up next after the news with Lucas.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.